chapter one. Psalm chapter one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his laws doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, and are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly. And my subject this morning is God's ways proven in COVID-19. There is a global pandemic going on all around us. Everyone is impacted. Private and public institutions are shaken, even upended. It is insidious, with many asymptomatic victims, those not exhibiting any symptoms, or only exhibiting symptoms a long while after infection and contagion. Due to lack of prevention, every society has had to implement mitigation practices, and it has been raging across the globe for nearly 6,000 years. Of course, we're talking about sin and sin nature. Looking at this new coronavirus, we see something of an allegory to sin and sin nature, and how believers should prepare for and against sin. Now, some people, including some Jews, have taken this concept of allegory to a superstitiously more literal level. So common in Christ's time, we find in John chapter 9, verses 1-3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And God has and does use physical ailments and handicaps to punish the disobedient, as he threatened Israel, for example, in Deuteronomy 28, etc. But humanity's inherited sin nature starts everyone off in an unprotected, vulnerable physical state, regardless, with no inherent reason or divine assistance or protection. We must transplant ourselves into the jurisdiction of God's protection. A citizen of Somalia, living and fighting in Somalia, did not receive medical treatment at the Topeka, Kansas hospital. If you're not there, you're just not there. And early on in this COVID-19 epidemic, many testing sites had among their requirements a local residency requirement. In other words, at that time, a visitor from elsewhere would be turned away, perhaps referred to the actual hospital to await testing availability. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7:21-23. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So until we place ourselves in Christ and prove that we want to remain in Christ eternally, we are not there. We cannot expect to receive any divine assistance. If we transfer ourselves to be under Christ's federal headship, that, the everlasting covenant, then guarantees certain things, including an entrance into the beginning of the process of ultimate eternal salvation, the ultimate healing. Back to our examples, the Thessalonian citizen had literally moved to the Ephesus campus and secured citizenship and residency there, and he would automatically be entitled to whatever treatment was necessary and available at that hospital. And if a Topeka resident had a residence here in Orlando, then he would have met that requirement. But even then, that new resident would not necessarily be completely safe. This is where some of the more peculiar characteristics of this COVID-19 virus really illuminates the spiritual lesson. As the governor noted, many of the recent visitors from New York went to South Florida, unwittingly keeping the rate of infection higher there. No matter where we go, and what we do in this life, in nature, is always with us. Geneticists have found there are certain genes that predispose persons with them to certain addictions or propensities. So even without any temptation, we are hardwired to sin. And this is why sin, our sin nature, is so strong. The Bible says the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, because it is 8:21, which was after the flood that was meant life sin off the earth. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Christ himself said in Matthew 19:17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Paul wrote in Romans 7:17-18, in part, them that dwelleth in me, and in me dwelleth no good thing. So whether a person realizes this or not, this deadly thing is in us all the time. And unless combated continually, it will destroy it. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. This is why the scriptures admonish us to turn to scriptural pursuits continuously. Look at Romans 2, verse 7. Tells us that them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. After all, it's harder to sin while praising God, for example. Look at Hebrews 13. 15 through 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not for what such sacrifices God is well pleased. Also, we're discussing godliness. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 40, verse 16. Psalm 40, verse 16. But all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, but such as love thy salvation, say continually, the Lord be magnified. Again, in Psalm 71:15, my mouth shall shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. And to meditate and study God's word continually, taking it internally. Quite a number of verses in Psalm 119. Read verse 97. So how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And just always remember God's word. Again, in Psalm 119, read verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And then the last verse, very good and for us to remember, Psalm 119:176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. If we remember God's commandments, he will bring us back. And then finally, we need to ask on God's word, putting it into practice to change our actions and habits. Again, in Psalm 119, read verse 12. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. We must constantly engage God's word and apply it to develop the habit of godliness and maintain it. We constantly habitually guard against sin to constantly beat back the sin nature within us. But we are our own individual worst enemy in this fight. The reason we cast it constantly, habitually guarded against sin, is because even fully repressed, it lurks within us as sin nature, seeking outlet to once again conquer it. Peter speaks of this symbolically in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We must guard our heart internally against temptation. As the wise man admonished in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Admonished his disciples in Mark 14:38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh weak. We don't want our sin nature to be allowed to be incited and proliferate in the sinful thought or action. Now, many of the ways to practice this is kind of to be parallels to the strategies for dealing with this COVID-19 virus. The first one I want to think about is what has come to be called social distancing, more accurately described as physical distancing. This is basically watching out and staying away from anyone or anything that might possibly harm or hinder. This involves being cognizant of our surroundings, looking in, planning ahead, being flexible, to alter whatever to avoid something that comes up. As new information and statistics emerge, recommendations were amended, as we have already mentioned. Some individuals had different genetics that predisposed them to different addictions or propensities. There's some of the cases in this virus were asymptomatic. So those individuals may not even themselves know that they have that problem. But we all know that we all have sin nature within each one of us. We all need to distance ourselves from any possible temptation in order to not tempt even someone else who may have a different weakness from our own. Paul admonishes in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to abstain from all appearance of evil. For this reason, now, due to the logistics of life and the sin nature within us, it would be impossible to avoid any exposure to temptation, but we should not get any closer than we have to. Again, the Proverbs admonish us. Back to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse verses 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And again in verse 23, as we read, keep thy heart with all diligence. So just as in the first verse of Psalm 1, this is speaking of certain paths of life. Choosing our lifestyle, life choices. Verse 24 tells us, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips, but far from thee. So this tells us to distance ourselves from perverse lips. Keep our own speech away from that time, and if possible, to avoid it in others. Now, the second strategy that came up was about is, of course, the wearing of physical barriers, masks, gloves, whatever. Scripturally and logically speaking, this is somewhat related to the first strategy, especially looking at Scriptures, as the ancients did not have types of materials, supplies, and understanding of this easy today. Although we do find in Leviticus 13, verse 45, laws concerning leprosy, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. So the lepers in Israel were required to, in effect, wear a mask. Leprosy, of course, is a scriptural symbol of sin, especially sin in the flesh. And we know we must be covered. We must cover that by Christ's righteousness. We take on Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, if we are covered with all armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, it will protect us individually and help protect any around us. One way being, for example, just by our example. do that. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, we read, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. The charity shall cover the multitude of sin. So thinking in terms of putting up barriers to temptation, our own or someone else's, can strengthen us all in our efforts to express and repulse our sin nature. Now these and many of the strategies mitigating spread of the disease require change in the habit. Of course, good hygiene is always recommended, but without a consistent habitual use of other strategies, especially such as the two already mentioned, is not really highly effective against something so virulent. Our opening reading, Psalm 1, highlights the general habits of those trying to stay free from contamination in this world. Now, just as restaurants had to close their dining areas and only offer takeout, drive-through, or delivery, so the believer can never linger in a questionable, risky environment. We have to go out among the world to a certain extent just to make a living and gain sustenance. But lingering unnecessarily in any risk environment only increases dramatically our own and others' exposure to temptation. That, you know, remember that someone else may have a genetic predisposition for, even if we don't. Just one example. Some drinking establishments also serve food. And some of them serve a limited variety of very good meals. I'm talking about places whose main focus is still basically the revelry and carousing. At the very least, if we find that we ordered something in such a place, first verse of Psalms 1 would tell us to backtrack, but certainly not dying in, that we would not want to linger there. That example brings up lines between cases get a little blurred. That is especially true in some people's physical mind. And some people get so used to just thinking of places like that for eating. So we must be careful. We're told to be circumspect and discreet. And not just for ourselves, but also for others, for our families, the natural and spiritual. So Psalm 1, verse 1, as we read, is telling us not to go to, and especially not to linger in risky environments. Now sometimes work or whatever places us in something of a questionable situation. A representative of a company may have to meet a client in an unfamiliar area. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, remember Corinth was a hub of commerce. A lot of these were probably businesses. In 1 Corinthians 7:31, he says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, from the fashion of the world has been away. Regardless of the situation, we must habitually, consistently use protective measures, as we have been discussing, barricade ourselves from sin, really from the sin within us, our own sin nature. We certainly don't linger long in any safe environment. Remember, we are called to be strangers and pilgrims, just passing through. Now, this brings us to our next thought. The stay-home orders had another side to correlate to our reading of the first song. The home environment, ideally, and for the purpose of the relevant discussions, is safety. So the psalmist, after advising us to turn from and move away from this environment and path in verse 1, points us toward a better mental environment for our spiritual mind we are trying to cultivate in verse 2. Let's reread that. Psalm 1, verse 2. Which reads, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." While we do have to deal with the world in whatever way for our sustenance, in the cares of this life really press in upon us, especially in trying times. Our forced ML isolation can and maybe should force us to further reinforce our safe environment at home by building up our relationship, especially with God. And remember, Paul wrote Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for them that love God. Them who are called according to his purpose. Now, this certainly doesn't guarantee it will be easy or that we will even survive. At least literally in this life. But we have a hope beyond, which Psalms 1 verse 3 points us. Let's go ahead and read that verse. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth, but prosper." Now, if we think about this, as we progress to this result, this takes our minds to Revelation 22, verses 1 through 3. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." And we remember that this word tree here, in the original, is literally plural, tree. We can be a tree in that wood of life, that forest of life, follows God and follows, you might call us, the contamination mitigation practices alluded to in the early verses of the first psalm. And so, as we watch crises unfold around us, allegorically, we can once again see our own biblical perspectives and exclusive practices based on scriptures are vindicated. We can trust in the inspired word, as John wrote in his first epistle, 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I thank you.